Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Your future lay out there in the bullpen.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Go ahead, call the producers.
Who would it now?
Hour number two, ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. Welcome back into the bullpen. Again, quick programming note, we'll all be off next week. Johnny is going to be in Austin. I'll be seeing Marvel's Thunderbolts with the wife. Cam's probably listen to Selena, I assume, right? I mean, I assume that's actually what you do on an average weekend. But what are you going to do with... No, you'll be actually, I guess... Are you up here running John Clay Wolf?
I'm doing John Clay Wolf, but my...
So, I mean, obviously, you're winning of the three of us. I mean, Johnny's in Austin. I'm seeing a movie. But I think Cam wins. He gets the has the honor of running the Wolf Pack here in Houston, 9 to 12.
So thrilled to be able to do that after years of doing it and not doing it. No, actually, I'm going to be spending time with my baby sister who's moving to Honduras.
Oh, yeah. I think I saw you post something about that on Twitter. Yeah. It's mission work. Is that right?
She went last year for mission work, but loved it so much that now she accepted like a teaching position. So she's going to be down
there. So she's moving there full time?
For at least 6 months.
6 months. Yeah. Wow. Credit to her. To Honduras, you said?
I did. Yeah. Yep. So, and she knows a lick of Spanish.
I don't think I can do that. Wait, say it again?
She knows a lick of Spanish.
She doesn't know any Spanish?
She knows hardly any. So, like,
you know some Spanish.
I do. So, I've been telling her, like, you need to get on Duolingo. Like, you need to start having, like, conversations and, like, interactions. I mean, she's going with other people that are bilingual. So, hopefully, she'll be able to, like, pick up on it and have, like, a translator there for a while. But... Yeah, when she told me this, I was like, "What are you doing?"
How do you try this on for a transition here, Johnny? Rate me after this. How do you say "must win" in Spanish?
I have no idea.
Okay, well, that doesn't help the transition. Damn it! But I think I think tonight. Look, I know it's technically not a must win. It's game three, and the series is tied 1-1. But it seems like Jimmy Butler's going to miss. And if he does the miss, he's going to be severely limited with his butt bruise. You cannot – I don't care if it's in Golden State, the Bay Area, whatever town they're claiming right now. I don't remember if it's Oakland or San Francisco now. It's no longer Oakland. Even if it's on the road, you cannot lose to the Warriors without Jimmy Butler and have us believe that you can win the series. You can't lose to the Warriors with Jimmy Butler at 80%. At 70%, you cannot lose with an out or hobbled or at least, you know, impacted Jimmy Butler because of his butt bruise and have us take you as threats to win the series and do anything.
No, because they beat the Warriors in the regular season with both of them healthy. So yeah, to lose the game in the playoffs in April, with yeah. a not healthy Jimmy Butler. And honestly, outside of Butler and Curry – I mean, even their next best player, the dude with the little
Moody?
Pazinski or whatever.
Oh yeah. Pod. I just call him Pod. I'm not gonna say the whole name.
He's been fighting like a virus, so he's not even 100%. So there's absolutely no reason why the Rockets should lose game three. Even if Jimmy starts, he's not 100%.
No, there's no way. There's no way. Like I've read up a few things about how long this sort of injury usually takes, and they say it's, you know, a week to 2 weeks, and he's had 2 days.
So, yeah, and it's a lower back, so you're like your back.
Well, it's like pelvis and glutes. I mean,
just constantly moving in basketball. Well, like it'd be one thing if it was like a upper arm contusion or something like that, but it's literally
a non-shooting arm. Yeah, maybe. So yeah, technically not a must win. I know the purists will hear me say must win and throw their hands in the air, maybe drive off the road. I don't mean to cause an accident, but you cannot lose to the Warriors with a hobbled or an out Jimmy Butler. I mean, this was a Warriors team that was under 500 when they made the trade for Jimmy Butler. This was a, at best, a mediocre team without Jimmy Butler, you cannot lose to a mediocre. Let me just, I mean, we can run off the list of the other names that are going out in the on the court for the Warriors, whether it's Post or Pod or Moody, or they brought back who was it they brought back off of Mothballs the other night? I'm forgetting the name off the top of my head. But that roster that they run out there, Steven Spencer or whatever the hell that guy
was. Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, like, there's just so many rando. It's Jimmy Butler. It's the big three, Jimmy Butler, Steph Curry, Draymond Green. And Draymond Green's not an offensive threat. And then everyone else after that is just randos. It's not a good roster. Like, they might have the best two players in the series with Curry and Butler. But spots like 3 through 12 are all Rockets.
Oh, yeah. Rockets are way deeper and way more athletically talented than Golden State. And this whole connotation of, oh, it's not a must-win game. Every game in the playoff is a must-win.
Well, okay. Now you're going to have me push back on that, because I would disagree with that, but I don't want to get into the whole thing. Let's not argue the semantics of must-win, but I would disagree with that. Instead, let's get into... Was it dirty? We're talking about Jimmy Butler. Let's talk about what happened to take out Jimmy Butler. I cannot believe I guess I can believe it, because fans just look through it through the lens of what affects them. Now, I think I've tried to hold myself to a standard better than that. Like, when things like happen to this to the Rockets, I don't take to social media and put up, like you were telling me, people are putting up backgrounds of the hurricane radar.
Yeah.
To mock the city Houston all because of a sports injury. Like, I try to hold myself to a standard better than that. But still, like, when, you know, a Twitter account named Steph Curry 420 or Jimmy Butler 69, like, I don't take what those people say seriously. But I've still, despite that, or in spite of that, whatever, I've been surprised by how sharp the backlash has been, to the point of people thinking Amen did it on purpose. So did Amen Thompson do it on purpose? Did he purposely injure Jimmy Butler? I obviously don't think so. I know Cam doesn't think so. Let's hear from NBA expert on ESPN, Tim Legler. Did he do it on purpose?
It's 100% obvious. And the only way that you think that's intentional is if you're a Warriors fan. End of story. People that don't have and are impartial, if you've got two eyes, you can see he was inadvertently tripped into him. That's it. I'm not talking about it anymore. It's obvious. This isn't, and I got no dog in the fight. I sleep like a baby no matter who wins these games. I don't care. Okay. I don't care. It's obvious he was knocked off balance and fell into him accidentally. It's incredibly unfortunate, but that's not an arrogant opinion, man. That's just having common sense and two eyes.
Exactly. Common sense and two eyes. And we won't get to the email quote, because I think Tim Legler said enough there, Johnny. But like, when you look at the clip, Cam, it's very clearly, now once, when it happened live, I thought Draymond pushed him. You see the under the basket view, that's not true. Draymond didn't push him. So I don't give any fault to Draymond. I kind of suspected him, because we always suspect Draymond from stuff like this, but turns out he didn't shove Amen Thompson. But just think about it logically, reasonably, if, you know, Warriors 420 on Twitter can do that. I know they're not capable of, they're posting, you know, hurricane radar photos. But if you think about it logically, even getting beyond, like, the actual video that shows Amen Thompson tripping over Draymond's leg and just getting pushed from, like, Draymond and Steven Adams are behind him. Just their weight, like, they didn't push him, but just their weight and moving forward, plus Draymond's leg being in a position to trip him, is what caused him to fall. But even getting beyond that, just think about logically. If Amen Thompson decided in the moment that instead of going for this rebound, I'm just going to leg clip Jimmy Butler like I'm in 1997 heel in WWE. If he's going to do that, he's not going to drop to his knees and then face plant to do it, right?
He's not going to use his head to trip somebody.
Yes, exactly. Like, if Amen Thompson was doing it on purpose, just think about that. If you're listening, well, obviously you're listening, you're hearing this, but what would it look like to you? It's not dropping to your knees first and then going face first into the ground and into Jimmy Butler. Like, that's not how he would do it. Like, if he was going Draymond, let's say, to take a shot at Draymond.
Let's ask Draymond. How would he do it?
Yeah, like, how would he do it? He's throwing his shoulder into it. He's throwing his back into it. Like, he's basically throwing a tackle into the legs of Jimmy Butler. Amen Thompson went down to two knees because he tripped over Draymond's leg and then face planted. even if he was trying to do intentionally, that's not how he would have done it. I don't see how people could think that there was any way this was intentional.
Yeah, and another point is if the Warrior players thought that it was intentional, they would have gotten into the face of the Rockets and them in. And two, we know how much Steve Kerr likes to preach, and Steve Kerr even came out and said, we don't think it was a dirty play.
100%.
So Warrior fans need to relax, especially when they have the dirtiest player on their team already.
Yes. Yes. No, it's 100%. And let's carry part of that conversation over the other side, because I think the other thing that got just way far overblown in the conversation from game two was the reaction we saw specifically from Steve Kerr, as you mentioned, on the crowd at the Toyota Center chanting F.U. Draymond. So we'll hear about that on the other side of the break and weigh in. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back in. ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. Brian McDonald, Cam Smith, John Belmer with you here on a glorious Saturday afternoon. Talking Rockets right now, and after we get into Steve Kerr and his whining ass, we will get to Coachy, who's calling in to talk about the NFL draft. And if you have any thoughts about Steve Kerr whining, the Rockets-Warriors series, or the NFL draft, and you want to get into the show like Coachy's doing, give us a call or a text on the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. But right now, let's hear from Steve Kerr, who was a little upset about the Toyota Center crowd chanting F you, Draymond.
It's not ideal when a crowd is, you know, chanting F you, Draymond. It's just, I don't know. I mean, it did in Boston a few years ago in the finals. It is what it is. Draymond's been around forever. You know, he's an instigator. He's always going to be in the mix. And because of his career, his championships, his fire, he's going to be a lightning rod. And that's all part of it. I would prefer, you know, if fans could use a little more discretion and, you know, remember that, you know, the guy has kids. And,
okay, all right, cut him off. Johnny, cut him off. I'm done with Steve Kerr's bitch ass talking about
bitch ass.
Draymond has kids, guys. Okay, did Draymond have kids when he punched his teammate Jordan Poole in the face?
Thank you.
Does Steven Adams have kids? Maybe not.
Not anymore.
Well, yeah, can't have kids because Draymond kicked him in the nuts. Like, what are we talking about? Oh, think about Draymond's kids. It's mean to chant F you, Draymond. Shame on you, Toyota Center crown. Shut up, Steve Kerr. I look, as someone who has used the kid shield to get out of things because it's a great crutch, you guys don't have that tremendous joy to say, oh, no, I can't do that. I've got, you know, kids, you know. Yeah. You guys don't have that joy. But I think the kid's crutch is used too often, and Steve Kerr, holy crap, overused it here. Think about the kid, Steve Kerr. Okay, one, you're talking about Draymond freaking Green, the dirtiest player in the game, like he's Ric Flair in the 1980s, slamming the steel cage door on Dustin Rhodes. It's Draymond Green. He's kicking Steven Adams in the nuts. He's stomping people in the face. He's punching his teammate Jordan Poole. Was he thinking about his kids when he punched? What sort of example, Steve Kerr? It was Draymond sitting to his kids when he punched his teammate Jordan Poole in the face.
Sorry, I have to interject real quick. Yeah, Sanders finally got taken.
Yeah, I was going to say Sanders washes over.
Oh, yep.
The Browns. The 144th overall pick in the fifth round, the Cleveland Browns have selected Shador Sanders.
Into the same locker room as Deshaun Watson. Bless you, NFL. That is chef's kiss. That is unbelievable.
That's great. But Back to Steve Kerr. It would have been one thing if he had mentioned like the kids in Toyota Center.
Well, I have even problem with that, but continue.
That I can understand. But again, what does it matter about Draymond's kids who have already seen him nut check people, grab them by their throats,
kick them in the face, stomp on their chest,
punch their own teammate, constantly yell at players and officials? It just kind of like he has done. Draymond has done 20 things worse
Who I'm trying to remember the NBA player he called. Oh, it was Karl Anthony Towns. He called up Karl Anthony Towns on his podcast.
Oh, yeah.
A couple months ago for ducking his. I think I can't remember who he thought said he was ducking. Turns out Karl Anthony Towns was at a family friend's funeral.
Yeah, like, and then Draymond even went back and was just like, "Oh, I feel bad for him, but no, I'm not taking back what I said."
Yeah, I wish we had the quote to play. Not only did he not apologize in that moment, he's twice. During the quote-unquote apology, which was an apology, he promoted his own podcast.
Yeah, and like doubled down on what he said.
Yeah, so like the quote like, was like, what? You know, I feel bad for him, but the Draymond Green show will continue. I was like, what? Okay.
Well, and even Steve Kerr said in that quote that we just listened to, he admitted that he's like, Draymond's been doing this. He gets under
people's line.
He pushes
the line. Line stepper.
He gets under people's skin. So it's just kind of like, okay, Steve Kerr, you acknowledge that basically it's just like you're not surprised it happened. You're just you have to say something, I guess, because it's your guy. But you look like an ass doing it. He's always preaching.
I don't think Draymond needs that at this point. He likes being the villain.
Exactly.
I don't even think he needs it. Now, quickly to your point, we'll get to Coachy after this. But quickly to your point about the kids in the arena, like you understood it from like if you had your kid there, you wouldn't want them to hear it. I mean, obviously, I get that. To use Steve Kerr's language, that's not ideal. But I would say going to a game in a big sports arena is not a sterile environment. Like, it's not taking your kid into, Deadpool and Wolverine, like where you know there's going to be a thousand F-bombs. But you can't go into an NBA playoff game with 17,000 people there and expect not to hear one drunk guy cursing around you, right?
Oh, that's just part of going
right,
to a game.
Exactly.
And so, when alcohol is involved, like, come on now.
Exactly.
Bring the headphones.
Like, I sort of get on a low scale cursing, you don't want the kids to hear the F-bomb. Of course, it's not ideal. But if you take your kid, if you buy a ticket and take your kid into that arena, there are 16,000 other lunatics, half of them which will have had an alcoholic beverage, who at one point in the game are going to scream out a curse word. You can't go into a game like that, or really any sports, professional sports game, or even college game. I mean, college games might even be worse with students there. But you can't go into that environment and expect your kids not to hear a curse word. That's not a reasonable expectation.
No.
So I semi-sympathize that you don't want your kids to hear the F-bomb, but if it was that important to you, don't take them to the game. Anyway. No. With that, we'll move on from Steve Kerr's bitch ass and talk to the bitch ass of Coachy. No, I'm kidding. I love Coachy. Coachy, calling in from Tennessee, wants to talk about the NFL draft. What's going on, Coachy?
Gentlemen, our long national nightmare is finally over. In the fifth round, the Cleveland Browns have finally selected Shedeur Sanders. A round of applause, just really quick. I don't know about you guys, but I was really worried that a guy whose dad literally went and said he had lists of teams he would not let his kid play for wasn't going to get drafted.
Not only that, Coachy, but he had Brian Daboll. Apparently, he had an argument with Brian Daboll in a meeting with the Giants. He had one anonymous scout said it was the worst combine interview he's ever done. Shedeur Sanders himself apparently was trying to dictate terms with teams. Like, who do you think you are, dude?
Yeah, like, I really love how this guy had all these demands, wouldn't do certain things at his workout, his dad was getting involved, and Stephen A. Smith takes to Twitter yesterday to make more excuses for a guy who is already coming up with multiple excuses. Like, what? Where does it stop? The fact that Stephen A. Smith is trying to turn this narrative into, well, he's being blacklisted. Yeah, maybe because at a certain point, and this is true of any industry, your attitude outweighs your talent. And if I have a guy who's already making demands before he's even laced up the cleats in the NFL, why would I want to bring him into my organization?
Yeah, like...
exactly.
Yeah, I don't know if you'll agree with this, Coachy, but there is always a sliding scale with how much you're willing to put up with versus the talent of the player, right? Like, if he was the prospect that, Andrew Luck was, or Jameis Winston. I know Jameis Winston now is a punchline, but you know, at a time he was, you know, the number one overall prospect that RG3 was. You know, whoever the top level quarterbacks are, if he was making those demands but had their talent, I think for the most part teams would overlook it, and he might slide into the late first, but he'd still be drafted in the first round. I think the teams are telling Shedeur Sanders, like, your talent ain't worth this crap.
Yeah, imagine your schlep rock producer behind the board came in when you guys were starting the show.
And I mean, Johnny's great.
Hey, guys, look, I'll come to the show, but I'm not missing any sound effects. I'm not getting the phone calls at all. I will take us in and out of break, but that's it. Take it or leave it. You wouldn't have that guy on your show.
We would not.
Yeah. I mean, Johnny, if you start big-timing us, we might have to make a call to another producer.
Well, and, you know, the thing, too, was a lot of people were bringing up Eli Manning and like, oh, look how diva Eli Manning was. Well, Eli Manning still went through the draft process. He just bitched because after he got drafted
Papa
by –
Papa bitched because he didn't want to go to the Chargers.
Yeah, so but it's not the same – like, I get it, but it's not to the same level. At least he went through, like, the interview processes and, like, did that whole thing like he was expected to. He didn't start complaining until he got drafted by my Chargers, but it's not the same thing. It's not a good comparison, I don't think.
Can we also admit that how bad of a look is this? That you tried to big time the Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets, and even that.
Yeah, no, like, I mean, like, there's literally a Cleveland. Go ahead, Coach.
We're good.
Yeah, sorry, you're breaking up a little there, Coachy. But I do think it's funny to your point, Coachy, that there's literally a Browns fan out there. We've all seen the picture of the jersey that has duct tape over like 1,000 pieces of duct tape down the back to go over all, you know, like like Tim Couch and Seneca Wallace and Colt McCoy, like all the hundreds of names.
Baker Mayfield.
Like Jameis
Osweiler.
Yeah, well, I don't know if he ever played for them, but yeah. And they were that team with that quarterback history was still like, nah.
The only thing that I hope with that poor, poor soul who has the quarterback jersey, I just hope that when he adds Shedeur Sanders' name tag to that jersey, he makes it at least in Louis.
I'm sorry, he makes it in what?
In Louis, the Louis Vuitton brand.
Okay. All right, I'm with you.
B-Mac's not a Louis guy.
No, yeah.
Stay with me.
Coachy knows that about me. There's nothing about me that says Louis Vuitton. I'm probably the poorest dresser on the planet.
You are a fancy bitch.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's not what you wear; it's how you wear it.
Yes. It's the attitude. I present the attitude of a fancy bitch with the dress of a manual laborer. Like, that's
dude,
Brian McDonald.
Imagine living in a world where Bronny James is no longer the biggest symbol of nepotism, baby, in sports. Like, oh my god,
that's crazy. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, Shador's more talented than Bronny. But still, I mean, kind of getting back to my earlier point, like, they would put up with Shador's nonsense if he was a can't-miss prospect. But he's a dude with, I mean, every evaluation I've seen, whether it's Lance Zierlein here at the station or, you know, Todd McShay, Dane Brugler, basically everyone except for Mel Kiper, who's been glazing him all week, everyone says, like, he's a good quarterback, but he doesn't have a single special trait.
It's like high floor, low ceiling.
Yeah, kind of. Like, exactly. High floor, low ceiling. Like, he does a lot of things pretty good. He doesn't do a single thing special. You're not going to allow a player with that sort of profile that doesn't do anything special to dictate terms to you and also deal with the drama of who his daddy is.
Yeah.
I mean, at what point does the University of Colorado go, you know what, maybe we'll unretire number two?
I mean, he could go back. He has a year left. He could go back.
He can't now. I think the answer, Coachy, the second Dion leaves, they're chiseling that name off the wall. But as long as Dion's there, it'll stay.
I hope they used Velcro when they did that.
Velcro.
I I would love to see that video. I would love to see the video. All right, any thoughts before we get out, Coachy, on what the Texans did or anything draft besides Shador?
In Casario, we trust. That man can do no wrong unless he's drafting offensive linemen, even though, you know, I mean, not for lack of trying, he's tried to fix that line. But he hasn't been very good at that. But wide receivers, I trust him. I cannot wait to see what the Iowa State kids can do. That's all I have for that.
All right, Rackham, thank you for calling in, Coachy. Go ahead.
Oh, also, I still hate the Tennessee Titans, even though I live up here, so they could suck it.
Love it.
All right, perfect way to go out. Thank you to Coachy for calling in all the way from – you know, bum Tennessee, and they're a terrible team. I hate that they got, a good quarterback in Cam Ward. They'll find a way to ruin them. They're the Titans.
Another solid Cam.
All right. So Cam Smith, the Astros player, Cam Ward. I don't know how many we get into, Johnny, before we get to this man to my right. I don't know how many Cams we're getting to.
He's right behind him.
Right behind
him? Right there.
Okay. Oh, nice.
So if I need him, here's a segue for you, Johnny. If I did a Mount Rushmore plus one of Cams, Cam, you saying this Cam Smith is on it?
I think it'd be an honorable mention.
Yay! I would be mentioned honorably.
That is the first time someone said Cam Smith is honorable in the history of it. I'm kidding. I'm kidding, kind of. All right, on the other side of the break, we get into the best segment of your weekend. We get into Mount Rushmore plus one. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Throughout the course of human history, singular moments have shaped who we are, who we'll become, and even the world as we know it. Some men discovered new worlds.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
One man advocated for the need to hire a contractor.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Others put pizza on a bagel.
When pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime.
These courageous men gazed upon a monument and asked, what if we add one more? This is Mount Rushmore plus one.
Welcome in, Houston, to the best part of your weekend. Welcome in to Mount Rushmore Plus One, the groundbreaking, award-winning sports radio landscape-changing segment that'll get Cam Smith, John Belmer, myself, and along with Sean Mapes, even though he's only here every few weeks, into the Texas Radio Hall of Fame in far less than the 27 years it took John Lance to get there. Just saying. It'll take us 22. That is the prediction for now. All right, it's time for Mount Rushmore Plus One. Anyone want to volunteer to lead off? Should I go first? Or is anyone chomping at the bit to get off their takes here?
I mean, I don't mind going first.
All right, Cam, lead us off.
I'll lead off. So this comes after attending the Astros game on Tuesday. Mine is annoying things fans do at sporting events.
Oh, okay. Like chant F you Draymond.
Oh, no, I love that.
According to Steve Kerr.
I applaud that.
No, I do too. But Steve Kerr, they chant, think about the children.
Screw his children. Get them kids.
That's right. Yeah.
So the first one I have is standing up and having a conversation in the aisle.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Please squat or take it up to the concourse.
Are you talking about, like, where the steps are or, like, in between, like, walking in front of people?
Well, either one, but mostly the steps, especially, like, how you're supposed to, like, if you're going down, you're supposed to be going one way, and if you're going up, you're going the other way.
It's like driving on the road. There's a – you're right – right and left.
But then there's people standing there having conversations with somebody 8 seats away in the row, and it's just, like, squat or just take it up to the concourse, please.
Yeah. Or you have phones, text them.
Exactly. The next one is bringing of inflatables. Like when people bring...
Oh, like the thunder sticks?
The thunder sticks or like the beach balls.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Beach balls sound pretty fun.
Beach balls are great at the pool or at the beach since it's a beach ball. But this, I don't want to see a big old beach ball bounced around in front of me when I'm trying to watch. Like,
we might find out Cam's not fun at games.
Yeah.
I'm very fun at games.
I don't know. I mean, it sounds like you hate fun when you say you're anti-beach ball.
That's you're not a baseball fun. Game. Like, there's lots of downtime in between. Like you can hit a beach ball up and keep it up.
Most of this is when I'm talking about, like, while the game's, like, the beach ball is when the inning's in or when the quarter's being played. Like, if it's in an off period or timeout, sure. But like, if it's while the game is being played, ain't nobody got time for that.
All right, all right. I've got my thoughts on that and some other things. But I'll go ahead and finish your list, and we'll figure it out after that.
The next one, there is a reason why those seats are raised up off the ground, so that when you're done with your food or drinks, you can slide them underneath, not leave them in the row, so that when people are trying to already slide by you cram-packed, they're having to step over your leftover hot dog platter and nachos.
Sheriff Blaylock nachos.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, just move them back underneath the seat, please. The next one, and this is probably mostly just at baseball games, but when people get sunflower seeds or peanut shells, and they're the ones that are at the very front row by the ledge, and they drop their seeds peanut shells over on top of the people
and they
below
fall down
them.
And hit you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
Again, there's a reason why you have a row by your feet. Drop them in the row, not over the railing.
Yeah, that's just being a terrible
people.
Person.
Yeah, and in their drinks.
You're just being an a-hole at that point.
Yeah. And then the next one is the wave.
I was hoping you were going to get to that. That's on my list. I hate the wave.
I wish there was like a designated half inning where you could do the wave, and then it's not allowed.
And then it's, and then if they see you do it at any other part of the game, you're
especially
you're,
if the game is like tied. If it's like 2-2 going into like the seventh, nobody, there's no call, there's no need for the wave. If you're ahead
it's
by like 10
so
runs,
stupid.
Sure.
Why? Why is it stupid? I don't understand the hate for the wave.
Like, yes, how is that fun?
But it's not necessarily about fun. It's
the way else would you feel
it's something for the crowd to all get into.
What are they stretching?
Thing. One thing. No, it's one thing.
Why not?
You go around as many times as you can. Well, yes, but then you once you get it going, you go around as many times as you can. I don't understand the hate for it, though. Sure, if you don't want to participate, don't participate.
Oh,
I don't.
But, I don't.
I do not.
What? I'm a wave killer.
Nope.
But what does? Why? Where's the hate towards it? Like, what is?
It's just dumb.
That's uncalled for in certain situations.
Like, it's like, oh, I gotta like the game. Like Cam's point earlier about like the beach balls. Like the game's coming on. Like the game's in the middle of a tight situation. Maybe there's two runners on, or it's a tie game in the fourth quarter, and. I got to worry about this crowd coming around.
Yeah, like after the third out when the players are walking off the field, if that's when you want to start the wave, to do it during the middle of the inning,
when the pitch
go
is
for
thrown?
It. Exactly,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was always fascinated to see that many people be able to complete a wave. You know, we can't even drive on the highway safely and like do normal things. to be able to like get that many people to do it again and again, I just thought was fascinating.
I thought it was cool too when I was nine.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, okay. Man, John, he's taking shots at you.
Never that.
Johnny's over here treating the wave like it's a miracle of like modern innovation. And
he's like,
Cam,
at my wedding, they're going to do the wave.
Oh, Cam just went
Johnny,
down
we're
on
doing the wave.
Mount Rushmore.
We're going to do the wave at your wedding then.
When you eventually get married, we're doing the wave.
When she's walking down the aisle, it's just be a woo.
Now, can you ever do a wave at a funeral? Would that be frowned upon?
I don't know why.
I think it depends on whose funeral you're at, right?
I guess you're waving them goodbye.
Do I have permission at either of your funerals, assuming you go before me, unlikely, to do the wave at your funeral?
Go for it, because I won't be there to witness
it. All right,
so
I'm fine with that.
Johnny, you in?
I'm fine with it, too.
All right.
Especially
if it's
a hated
evidence,
person.
Family members of Cam Smith and of John Belmer, we're doing the wave at your funerals. All right. I don't know which list I want to go here for my Mount Rushmore plus one. I've got two. I'll just say, Cam, am I going topic A or topic B? Neither one sports. A. Okay, so my Mount Rushmore plus one is this. I don't know if you guys saw this news, but apparently Subway is going to be serving nachos. Though they might already be doing it, but apparently Subway, now on their official menu, has footlong nachos. And I had the thought, like, I couldn't, like, I don't want to eat at Subway because, well, many reasons, but mostly
it's not fresh.
Right, it's not fresh. The quality of the ingredients is not high, among many reasons. But like, I can't think of an item I'd want to have less than nachos from Subway. Like, if I'm saying, man, I could kill some nachos right now, how far down the list do I have to go before I get to? Let me go to Subway to get nachos. So,
is it the whole point to eat fresh and healthy at Subway?
I
was on board with their footlong chocolate chip cookie, but
they have a footlong chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah, they
do. Yeah. That I can get behind.
Good Lord. Okay.
They have a foot-long churro, too.
Okay, now that I can say, well, not from Subway, but a foot-long churro in general, I can get on board. Daddy loves some churros. All right. This is a Mount Rushmore plus one of food I'd rather eat than Subway nachos, because I'll just go ahead and tell you, Subway nachos at the top of the list. I don't think there's anything in the world I want to eat less than Subway nachos. That feels just depressing. Number one, if Jack in the Box started serving sushi, that would be pretty bad. That would be on par with nachos from Subway. Two, McDonald's start serving beef tartare. I mean, we already know we're getting the C-level, maybe D-level meat from McDonald's, and they're turning it into beef tartare, raw beef.
They just had an outbreak not that long ago, too. Like,
did they? Yeah. Of course they did. We all still eat there anyway, but we know what's going on. But, yeah, beef tartare for McDonald's would be on the level of disgusting that I think Subway nachos would be. If Taco Bell started serving hot dogs, we already know you're giving us the C-level, meat there. They've actually started to up their game a little bit as far as the quality of their chicken. But, I mean, hot dog is already kind of just the random scraps of a pig thrown into a casing. And if we took that down to Taco Bell level,
The only way I could somewhat justify that is if, because Taco Bell is obviously, like, Tex-Mex Mexican food, is if they kind of did maybe like a Mexican style hot dog,
but it's not going to be a good one.
But it's not going. It's still not going to be a good
cheese
one.
Cheese whiz from a can, and you know, just the scraps of all the different, like, just sour cream that's been sitting out all day.
I don't know.
Like,
you just go straight to that. It'd be bad. Because look, I mean, Taco Bell's not known for their chicken, but they do the chicken really well, and they're not known for French fries, but those nacho fries are good. Like, they're not known for things, but they can do it.
I just feel like if I went to Taco Bell and got a hot dog, I'm getting the worst possible hot dog I can get.
You're getting leftover hot dogs from Dollar Night at the Astros game.
Yeah, or like sometimes I don't know if you know this about me, but I go to the movies early in the morning.
Oh, you don't say.
Actually, I went to a movie on Friday. Movie started at 10:40 a.m.
You didn't tell us this.
No, because you guys mock me for it. It made me feel old. I wasn't here for that on Friday. By the way, Until Dawn, pretty good movie. Anyway, but it's like when you go to the movie theaters in the morning, you guys may be able to relate to this, and you see the hot dogs already there, like, they've been there. So that's kind of the thought. Same thing, like, you go to the gas station, and you see the hot dogs or like the little rollator. That's the kind of hot dogs I would.
Another made-up word?
Those things have been cooking for hours.
Rollator is a word?
I think so. You can fact-check me, but I think it's a word. Anyway, let's move on from Taco Bell. I got two more. Quickly, seafood from any fast food restaurant. Hard pass. Like, I don't care if it's Long John Silver's. I don't care if it's what? What are you looking at me like that?
But Long John Silver's is literally a seafood place.
I know. I'm just not gonna buy seafood from a fast food restaurant.
What about Popeyes? They're fried shrimp.
Never tried it.
Oh, no, it's not bad.
I'd hard pass.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going.
And then last on my Mount Rushmore plus one of food I'd rather have than Subway nachos. Just anything from Arby's. Just Arby's in general. Like,
you got the meats.
No, you got the runs. Arby's is gross. No, hard pass. No, I don't know what you got, Arby's, but it ain't the meats.
Or if you got like a veggie burger from Arby's, be like, ooh, wait a second.
Okay,
what?
You know what? I mean, I did say anything from Arby's, but yes, if they started doing like the Impossible Burgers or veggie burgers from Arby's, that would be pretty bad. All right, John Bilmer, quickly, your Mount Rushmore plus one.
Yeah, I'll do mine rapid fire. I actually, mine's inspired by a dinner that I cooked this week that was breakfast. I made breakfast
for
dinner.
Okay, chef.
Thank you, Chef Bilmer. This is my Mount Rushmore plus one of just breakfast food items. Not the full meal, but just the items.
Okay.
We've had some debates on this before, so I thought it'd be
Are you putting these items together to make a meal?
Sure, you can.
Okay.
Like, you can. These are just the individual items that lead up to it. Number five, I went hash browns, but with cheddar cheese on top.
Now, are these like the fast food style hash browns or like a diner style?
Like a diner style.
Okay.
Diner style, for sure. Nice. Not like McDonald's oval.
But yeah, oval, okay.
Those are okay. But like, I'm talking like diner style. Number four, classic here is French toast.
Okay.
I think it belongs on this list above pancakes, above waffles.
Ooh.
It's It's there. Matter of fact,
waffles over French toast.
But. Spoiler. Yeah, me too. Waffles or pancakes, neither of them are on their almost list.
Wow.
It's a bad list, Johnny. I'm not liking this list.
Number three, this might be a me thing. Corned beef hash. I'm a big corned beef hash for breakfast guy.
Yeah.
Number
are you
two.
Irish?
Huh?
Are you Irish?
No, I'm not Irish. No, but that was something that my family made growing up. Number two, I just put breakfast tacos in general, but I'm thinking my niche is chorizo and potato.
There we go.
That is the...
I'd either say that or barbacoa, but yeah. You can't go wrong either niche. Way.
And number one for me is biscuits and gravy with a good sausage gravy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Top
now,
with the sausage.
Now, you redeemed your list with the final two, like biscuits and gravy and breakfast tacos all day long. The was it French toast you had in there? Like, I was like, I'd rather have waffles.
No eggs.
Oh, well, eggs is kind of one of those things that you can add with anything, so I didn't put it on the list.
Okay, I respect it. True.
I think. I don't know what you guys what this would be for you guys, but anytime I go to a breakfast spot, and I went to one with my wife, I guess Friday or two, not this last Friday, but the Friday before. But if I go to a breakfast spot that I know to be pretty good, because you know the reviews tell us they're pretty good, and I see that it has chicken and waffles on the menu. Like, it's not even a thought. That's what I'm ordering every single time. Do you guys have anything like that? Like, if you go in and you see, oh, they got this, that's what I'm ordering.
Yeah, I mean, I love huevos con chorizo, especially if it comes with, like, breakfast potatoes. So, but I'm also not going to just get that from, like, if it's not a Mexican spot, I'm probably not going to get that. But the thing is I also don't eat breakfast a whole lot, so I'm not really an expert on where to go for like breakfast stuff.
What about
but
you, Johnny?
Your chicken and waffles. Hold on, because there's a difference between chicken and waffles with tenders and then the wings. Like
I'll go either one.
Okay,
the one I see the most often is it's usually tenders. Like that, like the places I go, like brunch spots, it's usually the only place I know that does the wings and it's fantastic is Breakfast Club.
Yeah, because the wings are harder to do than tenders.
Yeah, they are. Like,
but they're so much better.
Oh, Breakfast Club is elite. But anything like that for you, Johnny?
Biscuits and gravy. Biscuits no matter where I'm at, if it's a breakfast place, that if they've got it, I'm getting that.
That's a good take. All right, we got to get to the break here. On the other side, we'll get into what we love from sports this week and the worst people in sports when the bullpen returns on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back in. Final segment today on the Bullpen. Brian McDonald, Cam Smith, John Belmer with you. And again, programming note, maybe this is mostly to not Santa because he always tweets at us that we're lazy when we're not on. But we will not be on next week. John and I have plans, and Cam's going to run John Clay Wolf. So hashtag winning. But before we get out for this final segment today, let's get into what we love from sports this week and what the worst people in sports this week. I'll go first here. My worst person in sports is the Jaguars GM, Gladstone. He's went into this whole thing about players who are intangibly rich, whatever the hell that means. He's going to attempt to explain it. But this dude, this like 26-year-old GM, is just insufferable.
And the people that we will accept for who they are is and invite and select will be those that are intangibly rich. And people, again, I know I've been asked quite often, like, what does that actually mean? And I promise that whatever just came to your mind is what I'm thinking. Like, it exists. It's in my mind as well as yours.
Did you hear that? He's like, oh, well, like, I've been asked.
He didn't explain it.
Yeah, I've been asked to define it. Well, you know, whatever comes in your mind. That's what I'm hearing too. Like, what are you? He sounds like someone selling a pyramid scheme. Like, I cannot stand this guy. This player is intangibly rich. It's just, I thought it was already annoyed enough where he looks like a 26-year-old guy. And somehow he got the GM
Can't
job.
Can't you just say this guy has a lot of attributes?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, I guess the one silver lining is he's running the Jaguars, and I feel pretty good that that's not going to go well for
that's
them. So
fine by us.
Yeah, swarm, baby, swarm. All right, Cam, what'd you love from sports? Or who's your worst person in sports?
Worst person in sports, and I know this seems not sports-related, but Buffalo Wild Wings does call themselves a sports bar, and their unlimited wing deal is an absolute fraud.
Oh, really? They have a cutoff point, even though it's supposed to be unlimited?
It's not a cutoff point, but they basically advertise it boneless, unlimited, $20, traditional, $24. However,
so $24 you're supposed to get is
unlimited
many
wings and fries. However, on
fries, okay.
On draft day, we went over to Buffalo Wild Wings, and we were asking, you know, we want to do the unlimited thing. And even the server there was like, look, he's like, it's a fraud because technically you can only order 10 wings your first order. You have to finish all of them before you can make another order. But every order after that, you can only get 5 wings at a time. And because Buffalo Wild Wings is already notorious for having crappy service,
it's going to take forever.
It's going to take forever. So you're not going to wait. So you're going to leave. So even the guy was like, look, it's buy one, get one on Thursday. He's like, you should just do that so that you can get all your wings at once and not have to wait 2 hours to get what would be basically worth unlimited wings. Mm. So, yeah, it's just a marketing ploy.
Bad job, Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, that bad job.
That is
shame on you.
You know what Buffalo Wild Wings is not? Intangibly rich.
Nope.
Whatever that means, I have no idea still. All right, quickly, what we love from sports this week, it's time to go ahead and swim over to the Sea of Tranquility. Stop swimming around with the anger sharks. Talk about what we love from sports this week. Quickly, you probably saw Shaq had to rush off the set the other night of Inside the NBA because – well, he had to poop. According to the Inside the NBA guys, he's apparently drinking olive oil to cleanse out his system. And, well, it cleansed him out right in the middle of the show. So he literally runs off the set and just like, hey, you guys keep going on. I know we're live. You guys keep going on. So this led to a moment the next night where there was something on the stage to the side of the desk waiting for Shaq when the show started.
I just noticed it.
We'll talk about it in just a second. Anyway, last night both road teams won. Tonight all three home teams won. All the highlights coming your way. That's what Chuck is laughing about.
Y'all stupid, man.
We were trying to save it for the beginning of the show.
How the hell you gonna miss a big-ass toy?
Well, you missed it most of the night.
That thing has put there since the last halftime.
Oh, you picked a hell of a time to wake up.
Oh, my God.
Inside the NBA comes your way next.
I love y'all, man.
They put a damn porta potty on the set of Inside the NBA the day after Shaq had to run off the set because he had to go to the bathroom in the middle of the show. So just an absolute Inside the NBA in their final season on TNT is on absolute heater. Cam, what'd you love from sports?
I loved the FU chants towards Draymond.
All right, that'll do it for the Bullpen. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Again, we are off next week, so no show for that first Saturday in May. We'll be back the week after. For John Belmer behind the glass, for Cam Smith, I am Brian McDonald. Thank you guys for listening. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next time. I present the attitude of a fancy bitch with the dress of a manual laborer. What?
ESPN 97.5.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.